Recently, we were talking with one of our daughters, and she was talking about the different things that one of our grandchildren was saying during her prayer time, because they've established and developed a pattern of having prayer with their children, which is wonderful, which is something that we did with our kids when they were young. And she was mentioning that she was kneeling down at the bed, and she was thanking God for the wonderful things that she had. She was thanking her for her room, and she was thanking her for her toys, and thanking God for the games. And then she closed off by thanking God for her little blankie, you know, her little security blankie. I mean, it's so cute. It really is. Wonderful things that can only come, you know, from the innocence of children. And it made me think about the trouble that so many people can have in their homes and in their relationships because people forget to be thankful. You know, thankfulness needs to be taught, both to children and, of course, to adults as well. And I recall Mr. Armstrong saying on many occasions, he said that a large majority of his prayer time, his prayer life, was spent thanking God for all the things, for the wonderful things that he was doing through him and through the work that was being built. Thank you, just continually. Kind of stuck in my mind. And the Israelites got into trouble, our forefathers, because they had ungrateful hearts as opposed to a thankful heart. And instead of remembering all that God had done for them, they grumbled and they complained. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 16, just one example here. As a result, on one particular occasion, Numbers chapter 16, one particular occasion, God began to destroy them with a plague. And the number that died was 14,700 people. Just think about those numbers, and you let this become very real to you as you read this. Numbers chapter 16, and in verse 41. On the next day, all the congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, saying, "You've killed the people of the Lord. Woe is us." Look what's happening here. In verse 44. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of meeting, and God spoke to Moses, saying, "Get away from, in 45, from this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment." And they fell down on their faces. And Moses said to Aaron, "Take a censer and put fire in it from the altar, put incense on it, and take it quickly to the congregation and make atonement for them. For wrath has gone out from the Lord. In fact, the plague has begun." So Aaron took the incense, he ran out in front of the congregation, and in verse 48, "And he stood between the dead and the living, so the plague was stopped." Now those who died in the plague were 14,700. Amazing. Just amazing. Almost 15,000 people because of grumbling instead of thankfulness. You know, thank you for the fact that our clothes have not worn out. Thank you for the food that you provide every morning. Thank you for the water you bring out of the rocks, for the impossible situation. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I'll just quickly read this for you. In verse 11, Paul says, "Now all these things," that he was referring back to many things that happened during the days of our forefathers. He said, "All these things happened," verse 11, "to them as examples, and they are written for our admonition." Your admonition, my admonition. What about the story of the 10 leprous men who stood at a distance and cried for mercy as Jesus came by? They listened to his instructions. They listened to what he said, and they were healed. But only one of the lepers came back and said thanks. Only one. You notice that over in Luke chapter 17, let's have a quick look at it. Luke chapter 17, verse 12. He entered the village, and the 10 lepers stood afar, and they raised their voices, "Have mercy on us." In verse 14, Christ told them what to do: "Go show yourself to the priests." So they all went, and they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God, fell on his face, giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. He was a Samaritan, an outsider. And Jesus answered in verse 17, he said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Where's everybody else?" See, Jesus didn't criticize the lepers for asking for help. Not at all. But for their lack of gratefulness after they were healed. 1 in 10. And you know, today's statistics on thankfulness are probably not much better. Maybe it's 1 out of 100 today that shows any degree of, especially in our society. In Hebrews, I won't turn to it, Paul says, through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. Continually. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. Saying thank you to God is like giving him a gift. Did you know that, brother? You say thank you to God, that's like giving him a gift. And since we know that every good thing comes from above, we have countless opportunities to thank God. Continually. Not just on the odd occasion, once a week. Not suggesting that anybody does it like that. But giving thanks, brethren, not only makes God happy, it can make us joyful as well. Turn to Psalm chapter 92. Psalm chapter 92. There are so many places you can turn to, we just don't have time to do it. Psalm 92, verse 1, it says, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. Verse 4, for you, Lord, have made me glad, you may be joyful through your work. A thankful attitude can build faith as well, brethren. Psalm 95, verse 1 says, O Lord, let us sing to the Lord, let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let's come before his presence with thanksgiving. So if we remember what God has done for us in the past, then we can trust him today and, of course, on into the future. Absolutely. Remembering to thank God, brethren, also protects us from becoming proud and self-sufficient. Right? It really does. We may know that every good gift comes from above, but unless we remember to thank God for those gifts, we can take the credit ourselves. That's what happens to human beings so often. And let our self-sufficiency take over. Thankfulness is an indication of pride. It really is. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Quickly notice something here. Deuteronomy chapter 8. After describing the richness of the land that God was going to give to the Israelites, Moses said something here in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he's given you. But beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes. Verse 14, he says, when all these things happen to you, when you multiply your flocks and your gold multiplied and so on, verse 14, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. In verse 17, he says, then you say in your heart, my power and my might and my hands have gained me this wealth. I am the one. I'm great. It's not a very thankful approach, not a very humble approach, is it? Not at all. A thankful heart, brethren, you know, helps us keep a proper perspective on life, lest we become confused and think that we are responsible for our own successes, whatever they might be. Thankfulness shifts our confidence and trust away from the self toward God, where it should be. That's where our confidence is. And you know, brother, knowing that God desires a thankful spirit and how important that is to him, how can you cultivate a thankful spirit in our lives? How can we do that? There's so many, I haven't got time to go into all the areas. I'm taking time away from Mr. Bowles as it is. How about spontaneous thanks during the day? Now, how about that? Spontaneous thanks during the day. Think of all the things that occur during our day. If you're a housewife with the children, there's a multitude of opportunities to thank God for his intervention. How about when you're driving on the highway, our busy highways? Man, oh man. Thanks for getting me to work today, you know. I mean, there's so many things. Psalm 5 and verse 3, I won't turn there. It says, in the morning I order my prayer to you, and then I eagerly watch. I eagerly await for the day to unfold. Lots of opportunities to be thankful, brethren, all day long. And how about cultivating a daily routine of devoting more time to thankfulness toward God rather than asking for and focusing on all the things that we may need or want? Because here's the thing. God knows what you need. He knows what I want. I don't have to go to him for those things. He knows exactly what we need, what we want. And so you know, he knows that. We must be people of thanks. We must cultivate that in our lives and within our families and in the workplace and wherever else it might be. I think of how often you're in a lineup getting your coffee or whatever it might be in a store. I often listen for thanks when the person gives you the change or they give you the product or they do something for you or open the door. How often? Think about it sometime. Count the number of thank yous you see or hear in society. They are very few. They really are. See, God wants us to display our thankfulness because he delights in a thankful heart. He really does. Because it can give joy to our lives because it builds our trust in him. And it protects us, you know, from pride. Or from developing pride. And I'm not advocating a formula for cultivating, you know, all sorts of thankful deeds as an end to itself. Not at all. But rather to encourage us to cultivate a thankful inner person. That's what we're talking about. And it's important within families, very important, to develop a family history with children of directing them towards all that God has done and all that God is doing. Critically important. If they want to thank God for their room and for their toys and for this or that or for their blankie, wonderful. Let them do it. Because you're building history. You're building traditions. Okay, that's really important. Develop a heritage in your family, a tradition of giving thanks. And if you do that, the children will follow. They will do it as well. And grandparents can also help to communicate that by giving you kind of a rich sense of history, if you will. The family history to the children. All the things God's done for us over all these years. And I could go on for hours and talk about that with our grandchildren. There is so much to be thankful for, brethren, within a society that is totally self-serving, you know, totally self-centered, uncaring, unloving, and unthankful. Thanks to God, our Redeemer. Thanks to God, our Provider. Thanks to God for forgiving. Thanks to God for our salvation. Thanks to God for our comfort. Thanks to God for the tremendous hope that we have. And thanks to God for the promise of eternity in his family. There's thankfulness to God that can go on all day long, all night long. All week, all month. We've got so much to be continually grateful for and thankful for. Let's be sure that we cultivate that within our families. Cultivate that characteristic and make it a daily part of our Christian life.